Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I'm really happy to see all of you here today. I have a few announcements. One, we're gonna do greeters a little different. So we need greeters and bell ringers, like the bell tower bell ringer. And it would be really great to have somebody at the door every Sunday just to be that friendly face to members and to visitors. I have put a sign-up sheet in the back, or you can just call the office, get in touch with Allison, and then, you know, as we have more greeters, bell ringers, you know, there won't have to be the same person there every single Sunday, so you can get a day off. There will also be a deacons meeting directly after worship. There's something coming up next week. I know I have to be here at 4.
Yeah,
4 o'clock. Yeah, 4-ish.
Yeah, probably just a little earlier.
My service of ordination is next week at 4 p.m. here at Glenshaw Valley. So I'm looking forward to it. I have a pretty robe, and it's just going to be a lovely service. If I do say so myself, which is even funnier when we get to the sermon. Thanksgiving is coming up real quick, and I have been in talks with Bethlehem Lutheran Church, it's right up the street, for ecumenical Thanksgiving Eve service. So if you would like to attend that will be, mark your calendars for Wednesday the 23rd at 7:30 at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, just right up on Mount Royal. Finally, I've had some questions about, like, can we have a Bible study? Like, do people want a Bible study or an adult Sunday school or something like that? And I want it to be yours. I just want to come and talk to you about whatever I want. I want you to learn what you want to learn. So I've made a Sunday school Bible study questionnaire. It's very short. I did send it out by email, but if you weren't able to fill it out by email, there's a paper copy next to the bulletins. If you could fill it out and either hand it to me or put it in the offering plate, it'll get to me. Don't put your name on it. That would be really helpful. And then we can talk about how we want to get Sunday school or a Bible study started. Sound good? Yay. Any other announcements that I'm missing? Yes, Arlie.
You're not missing this because you didn't know. But I just wanted to share with everybody, I spoke with our friend June White this week, and June sends her love to everybody. She thinks about Glenshaw Valley often. She is pretty much housebound. She's not driving, but she's in good spirits. And she also shared with me that our friend, her son John, is retired, as we all know, and settled in St. Augustine, Florida. And it didn't take very long before the churches down there found him. And so he has taken on the position of interim pastor. He's agreed to do it for a year at a church in St. Augustine. So she asked that we please keep her in our prayers and put her on our prayer chain. And that's the update on John.
Excellent. Thank you. Any other announcements? Anything I should know about?
Deacons need supplies.
Okay, deacons still need cleaning supplies for the food bank, and put them in the pretty box. All right. With that, let us gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. We humble ourselves before our God, ready to hear and receive God's truth. Let us rise in body or spirit to join in our opening hymn, God, Reveal Your Presence. Friends, our God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Let us embrace this time of confession with honesty and humility. Holy God, your truth is oftentimes hard to hear. We confess our avoidance, our purposeful distractions, our prideful arrogance that keeps us from hearing and responding to your word. Although you send us messages and messengers, we dismiss and disregard those who tell us we are wrong. Have mercy upon us, Holy God. Open us to hearing the truth, no matter how it is conveyed. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Know you are forgiven and be at peace. Amen. Let us now confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Let us now lift our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. I do have one prayer to share. I just found out this morning right before church that one of my friends, his brother, Jared, has been in a very serious accident. The person he was driving with was confirmed dead at the scene, and Jared is in ICU out in California. So my friend Jason is flying out to be by his brother's side. So if you could keep them all in your prayers, that would be so very helpful. A joy, though, is that Penny and Jerry Airby are celebrating their 50th anniversary this week, and I will be with them at a very intimate gathering later this afternoon to renew their vows. Let us gather together and pray. God of grace, nourish us this day through word and worship. Strengthen our desire to discern and do your will. Focus us on your path of righteousness so we can walk steadily under your direction. Bend your ear to us, God of love, as we pray not only for ourselves, but for people everywhere. God of mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those suffering the aftermath of natural disasters, for the lives, homes, and businesses destroyed by Hurricane Ian. We pray for those who are exhausted, those struggling to pay bills and put food on the table, those overwhelmed by suffering and in need of a lighter load. We pray for those living in war zones, for the people of Ukraine and the women of Iran, people desperate for justice and peace. God of mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for leaders, administrators, decision makers who cannot please everyone, yet still strive to do what is just and right. We pray for our nation's leaders, that they may uphold those in need, defend the oppressed, and resist the idols of money and power. We pray for disputes to end, for people to work together, for our nation to know peace. God of mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those who are ill and their caregivers. We pray for those struggling with depression, anxiety, and other mental illnesses. Free us from any shame or stigma that keeps us from acknowledging our need and getting the help we deserve. Instill in us a sense of mutual responsibility for the health and well-being of all your children. Finally, O God, mold us for service so we can be the answer to the prayers we pray. According to your word and inspired by the one who saves us, Jesus Christ our Lord. United as family of faith and as the body of Christ, we lift all of these prayers up to you, God our creator, redeemer, sustainer. Hear us pray the prayer Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our hymn of meditation, Sanctuary. Let us now give and live generously in response to all that God has done for us. Let us present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. God, these offerings are only a portion of all that you have given us. We gratefully present these gifts and entrust them to your work in this world. May our gifts share the good news of the gospel to those who are in need, and may these gifts help unburden those with the heaviest of loads. Amen.
All right, today's reading comes from Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus told this parable to certain people who had convinced themselves that they were righteous and who looked on everyone else with disgust. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself with these words, "God, I thank you that I'm not like everyone else, crooks, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I receive." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to look toward heaven. Rather, he struck his chest and said, "God, show me mercy, a sinner. I tell you, this person went down to his home justified rather than the Pharisee. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted high." Bless the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God of wisdom and grace, you speak through your word, read and proclaimed. Prepare us now to listen well. Open our ears to your truth. Humble us in your presence so nothing will stand in the way of what you say to us today. Amen. I don't know if you know this. I'm kind of a big deal. I'm witty. I'm smart. People enjoy being around me. I'm kind. I'm a really good Christian. Some might say I'm even the best Christian. I'm not like those people who are at home still lounging around in their PJs. I'm at church. I read the Bible. I donate to charity. I pray. I mean, come on, look at me. I am practically a pastor. There's going to be an ordination service next week that is going to be amazing because I wrote it. But I have to say, of all the wonderful things about myself, all the wonderful things about me, humility is obviously my best quality. Thank you for laughing at that. And I really hope that no one here agrees that I think quite that highly of myself. Don't get me wrong, I do think I have a lot of good qualities. And there's nothing wrong with knowing your strengths. But there is a distinct difference between being confident and judgmental. Have you ever been around someone or a group of someones who were just trying way too hard? They're trying real hard to get your attention and to impress you. It gets a little exhausting, a little off-putting even. I get the sense that there were probably a lot of people around Jesus like that, trying to show him that they love God more than those other people do, so that Jesus will bring them in to his inner circle. So Jesus does as Jesus does and tells a parable. And it seems straightforward enough. Like, we have in our heads right away, like, a picture of exactly who Jesus is talking to. And I assure you, it's not us. We don't look down on others with disgust. We're not judgmental. So we're really looking forward to this story and waiting for that time of comeuppance. We're introduced to the Pharisee first. And I have to say, we really should be pretty careful how we tread so that we don't verge into anti-Semitic territory. Yes, Pharisees were the Jewish leaders, the Jewish religious leaders of the day. But they weren't inherently bad or evil. People knew them as exemplars of piety, people who lived their faith 24/7. They were the first to promote the priesthood of all believers, that anyone could live faithfully, and that the temple altar wasn't the only place that one could worship God. Families could be devoutly religious in their homes together. Jesus is referencing one particular Pharisee in this parable, not all Pharisees. This particular Pharisee is proudly praying about himself and his religious acts. He prays about how other people not only don't rise to the occasion, but they blatantly go against God's commands. They steal. They're adulterous. They hurt people. Further, this Pharisee praises himself and his devotion. I fast twice a week, even though it's only required once a month. I tithe regularly. I go above and beyond what is required. Look how great I am. This person is praying about who he is, what he's done and not done. I'd say it was an attempt to put himself in good standing with God, but he already seems pretty assured of that position. I kind of wonder why he even felt the need to go to the temple and pray at all. The tax collector, on the other hand, well, we know tax collectors, pretty bad reputations. Our present day IRS is nothing, absolutely nothing compared to the tax collectors of Jesus' day. You see, at that time, the tax collector was personally responsible for the amount of money his district owed to the Roman Empire. They could collect that money any way that they wanted, including adding extra fees. Anything above what was owed to the empire was personal profit, so there was an incentive to squeeze and gouge their neighbors, who were already struggling. The tax collector's prayer, vastly different from the Pharisees. He's bent over in a corner. He's so burdened that he can't even look up. He's broken from guilt and he just beats his own chest, thinking that he deserves punishment. But he's still desperately seeking mercy from God's judgment. We're not actually told what the tax collector is guilty of. We tend to assume he was racked with the guilt of extorting his neighbors, and he probably should have been. But maybe he was struggling with infidelity, or covetousness, or addiction, or a million other things. We rarely know what demons someone is battling. Even though these two people have very different prayers, these two men aren't really all that different from each other. Both the Pharisee and the tax collector go to the temple. They're both Jewish. They both pray. They're both pious. And they're both sinners. And both really want to be righteous in God's eyes. One lists all of the rules that he's followed so that he can remain in good standing before God. The Pharisee is trying to justify himself. The other recognizes that no matter how hard he tries, he can't not sin. The tax collector sincerely confesses to God and acknowledges the need for God's mercy in order to be justified. And at the end of the parable, Jesus tells us that it was the tax collector, rather than the Pharisee, that went home justified. Justification is kind of a big and fancy term for how to be made right. Justification is about how our relationship with God is turned right by way of God's grace and mercy. We can't become righteous on our own. It doesn't matter how many good deeds we do, how many times we take communion, how many Sundays we come to church, how many things we give up for Lent. We don't deserve justification. We certainly can't earn it. Yet, God does freely justify us through grace and love. Most parables tell us how to go and do likewise. But if we do that with this parable, it very quickly becomes a trap. I don't know how many of you have ever tried meditating, but the point of meditating is to think of nothing. It's really, really hard, for me at any rate, it's really hard to think of nothing. And then you get there, and then you realize that you're not thinking of anything, but you're thinking of something. And that moment is over. Humility is kind of similar. The moment the words, "I am humble," escape my lips, or even enter my mind, humility isn't a word that can be used to describe me. When we arrive at a suitable state of humility, there's a little bit of pride there. And shouldn't we get some sort of prize for being so humble? At that point, by definition, we are no longer humble. By the same token, as soon as we are critical of the Pharisee for being judgy, that means that we're being judgy. As soon as we distinguish ourselves from one or lift up the other, we're exposed. Our disapproving nature rears its ugly head. Our need to control who does or doesn't deserve mercy or justification peeks through. So no, this parable isn't actually telling you to be as humble as I am. We're telling you to look down on those who are being judgmental. Jesus isn't saying you should do the things this person does and not like be like the other person. The parable is actually telling us something about God and who God is. The parable is telling us about God's love and grace. That our relationship with God can only be justified, can only be made right by our wildly merciful God. It is by realizing the mercy and grace of God that we can begin to understand how we ought to pray. It's when we recognize the boundless grace that God provides us that we desire to live into that mercy and love. When we seek out a right relationship with God, it influences the way we interact with God and with God's people. You can start focusing on communicating with God, and you won't need to worry as much about the ways that other people are living. And you won't need to beat yourself up for not being as perfect as I am. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise, embody your spirit for a closing hymn, "If My People's Hearts Are Humbled." Before we go back into the world, let me offer a blessing. May we leave this house of worship today quick to listen, slow to speak, open to hear and responding to God's truth. May God bless you and keep you, be kind and gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and bring you peace. Amen.
Amen.